pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call. Everybody's here, I see. Citizen input is next. If you want to address the council on council business that is not on the agenda, if you'll rise and give us your name and address, and we'll allow you up to 5 minutes. Just raise your hand. Okay, and then we'll go to approval of agenda. We'd like to add a 7A. An ordinance amending Othello Municipal Code, section 2.10.050 of chapter 2, 10, entitled City Administrator. We need to have a motion or what, Jim?
Yes.
To amend this approval agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
I know there's to approve the agenda as amended.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Make that motion.
Mark, okay, second. Dan?
Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion?
I'm going to vote against this tonight. I was in at 1 o'clock today. I had no idea this was coming. I'm blindsided with this. I don't like it. So I'm going to say no, I don't want it added to the agenda.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay. That passes then. Consent agenda. Do I hear a motion for the consent agenda? Charles? Okay. Ken Kaler, second. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay. That passes then. Council instruction to use of computers for council packets. Dave? Yep. It's all yours.
Okay, great, thank you. Well, thank you for the time this evening. It's a pleasure to be here, a pleasure to get the opportunity to meet all of you. Let me just introduce myself for just a moment. My name is David Atkins. I live in Fort Dox. This is my colleague, George. Both of you probably have met George at one point or another. We are here this evening to give you some basic instruction on the Board Docs solution. Now, I know that, I understand that everyone has seen it. You've seen demonstrations of it at least. And you probably have some idea of what Board Docs is intended to do. But let me just give you a brief introduction, and then we're going to jump right in and we're going to start learning how to use the solution. Board Docs is a paperless meeting technology. Okay? And so the idea behind Board Docs is that you can conduct your meetings in a totally paperless way. You don't need to print agendas anymore. All the information that you'll need will be found within an online, web-based environment. Okay? Here at the city, you have your own site set up. We're going to show you how to navigate to that site, how to get in just a few minutes. But the great thing about Board Docs is it's what we call a Web 2.0 technology. Now, if you're not familiar with that term, let me explain what that means. That basically means that you can view your agendas from any internet-connected computer, right? So the great thing about that, again, is that you can view the agendas. Your public can also see your information. There's greater transparency with your constituency. They can go online, they can view the agenda information and view it in advance of a meeting, for example. Right? There are various levels of access that we'll talk about here in just a few minutes. But the idea is that we provide a way for you to access this information from anywhere. And it's organized in such a way as to help you facilitate your preparation for your meetings and actually hold your meetings. Okay? So, in short, right, the ability to work faster and better, and again, the ability to prevent having to print paper information. That's one of the great things, again, about working with Board Docs. Having said that, everyone now has a laptop, right? I understand these were issued to you fairly recently, and I assume everyone's had an opportunity to get in and log into your laptops and so forth. Well, some of you have not. That's right. So this will be your first experience, but then that's okay. We're going to take as much time as we need to get you up to speed this evening. I don't anticipate that we'll keep you long tonight because really there's not a lot that you need to know in order to be productive with Board Docs. Okay? But basically, the manual that you should have, let me just make sure that everyone has a copy of this too. I think Debbie, you can print us some copies for you, right? Okay, excellent. So everything that we will cover this evening, just so you're aware, is found in this manual, okay? This is something you can take notes on if you like and use as a reference later on. As you look at this, I do want to call your attention to page 4 of this manual for just a moment if you want to look there. This is how you get help with the board doc solutions, okay? If at any time you have questions or you're trying to remember, you know, what did he say about logging in or viewing information and so forth, I want to encourage you to make sure that you contact our support. There are two ways that you can call us. Number one is you can call the 800 number. Does everyone see that up near the top of that page? Okay. It's a toll-free number. Everyone that answers the phone works for BoardDocs. We don't contract that support out to a third party, right? So the people that answer the phone are very knowledgeable about the product. And we want to encourage you, again, there's no question that's too dumb to ask, okay? If you're struggling with something and you can't remember how to do it, by all means, please call this number. For those who would like to log your questions by email, I want to mention to you that there's also an email address. Does everyone see the support@boarddocs.com listed on that page? Some people prefer to get their support that way, right? And we encourage you again, if you'd like to submit your question in writing and receive an answer back in writing, that you send it to that email address, okay? Anyone have any questions about getting support? Okay, very good. Well, we're going to move on to the next topic, which is how do we log in to BoardDocs LT. Now, if you notice up here on the screen, I'm going to just point at it up here at the top, there's a web address up here. This is mentioned actually in your manual, and also it should be on the card that that was handed out to you with your username and password. Does everyone see that address that I'm talking about, the web address? Okay. It is. In fact, let me tell you what your page is on there too. If you want to look there, it's on page 5 of your manual. Okay. If you look there at the very top, where it says enter the address of your BoardDocs site, right? Your site is www.boarddocs.com/ followed by your state code, so WA, abbreviation for Washington, /, followed by your organization code, which is COWA, /, board.nsf. Maybe you capitalize the letter B and the word board. But here's what we're going to do for you, right? So you don't have to type this out each time, okay? Some of you are probably wondering, do I have to type that every time? No, you don't, actually. In fact, I talked to Stan, right? We're going to help you to set up some favorites in your browser, right? That way, whenever you open your browser, you can go to your favorite, and it will automatically take you to your site.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you because you're way ahead of us. Dan's looking at a fence and I'm looking at a rock, so we're not even close to getting whatever you're looking at there.
Right, yes. Yeah, we haven't actually gotten there yet. Yeah, we're going to go there now. So what I'd like you to do is, would you open up your browser? Now, does everyone know what a web browser is?
Right? No.
Internet Explorer, Firefox. Okay, I think that's Dan, if you might kind of walk around and help me to move around the browser. We're going to wait till everyone catches up, okay? And we'll get going.
The easiest way is right here, when it shows the world. I think that should be your browser.
Not the E?
You can do it either one. We prefer this one.
Double or single?
A single click on that, and then, well, shoot. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to the E anyway.
Let's type in. Go for it.
Right up here on this
yes.
Line, it says
you're
the E up here at the top. If you put your mouse up there, if you click in that feed.
Okay. Now, in this bar right up here, this,
there you go. See how highlighted
just
the line?
Click
you
there, and that should just. Right. Okay, yeah, now type in the.
No, I didn't type this in.
Type either. Other one. That's okay. Take your time.
So I need to type this in? Go back out and type that in?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I already had yours up, so you're in good shape there.
Oh, okay.
You're already in.
Oh, yeah.
Because I worked on your computer.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this better be a favorite.
Yeah, where's the favorites? I'm looking at the bar. I don't see it. It's right there. Bookmark. Yeah, I use favorites all the time at work.
Right, me too. It's all I use.
And then another deal. But I don't see it. Probably hit. See? Another dot?
C-O-M, right?
C-O-M? Uh-huh. You got it.
Okay.
So there's your C.
Oops.
And then you need a forward slash, which is this key right there. And then
your glasses, darn it.
WA, your Washington code. And then another forward slash.
You guys got class video on this, didn't you?
Yeah, but we didn't log in.
C-O-W-A.
Oh. So I'm watching kind of to see what we're doing. So how come your screen's different than his?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering.
And then forward slash.
Mine's different.
And then the last word is board.
Is that where you're up ahead? I think so. I bet you are.
So press the shift.
Oh, okay.
Right here. So press the letter B.
Yep, you're right.
There you go.
Me too. I wonder if I should open these doors if it would help them.
And then another period. And then in as in Nancy.
NSF.
It's not earlier. It's in the 60s in here. We were freezing during training.
Oh, like that.
When
I walked through, that probably wasn't smart thing.
Okay, and then.
And then press the in.
Okay. And of course, you guys know this will all be preset for an iCloud favorite, so it won't be this difficult every time.
Right. You know, somebody's going to do that. We'll just go on the internet, go to favorites,
to
bring
internet.
This up.
Or you go to the city website, Stan? And there'll be an icon.
He's not connected to the internet, this one.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Sometimes you'll just have to click the E and go to favorites.
Let's see what
you
can find out here.
Yeah, and it'll depend on what browser you use at home. If you're using Mozilla or if you're using Internet Explorer, or this thing here.
What is he past where we're at?
Next page.
He's on the next page. He's a step ahead.
No, I went in. That's where I went.
Oh.
Yep, jump right past that.
Huh. So I want mine to do.
This.
Jump past this.
That's where you're under private opening or something else. See where his stops right at.
Yeah, no, you're connected. So you've got to type in there.
Board.nsf.
Okay, just go ahead and hit enter.
You're something a little bit different.
To authenticate,
the owner couldn't
do that.
Stan,
after we are
authenticated.
Okay,
so we're there.
Okay, step
one. Stan had my computer, Chris. Yeah, we were using it today, I think. He was working on it, so I bet we're ahead with the game there. Because
Dan,
once he chooses what he wants here, then that's
he
the page we're really going to go to every time we open it. It's going to be that. It's not going to be this.
Yeah,
be
that.
This key. Now that you're here, okay, that's how you navigate to your site, right? That brings you to what the page that you see up here, which is called the site choice page. Now here you can determine whether or not to enter as a public user or as an authenticated user. What's the difference here? Well, again, remember that the public can come in and see your agendas and so forth, but there may be some sensitive information that you want to store in another content area. Does that make sense to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
And so that being the case, if you want to see the full agenda, the full information, I should say, in Word docs, right, as executive users, which is what we call you as council members, okay, you would want to make sure that you authenticate. Does everyone see that link right there?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have you go ahead and click on that if you would mind. And as you do that, it's going to take us to another page in which we can enter our username and password. Okay? So let's get to that point.
It's going. It takes a few minutes.
Thinking.
Mm-hmm. So you always know when it's going to be. Yeah. So that means it's taking time to load up.
What's it doing?
Right here.
Oh, it's spinning?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And we're doing that because everybody's asking for the same thing it was. So it's
going to be. Yeah, it's probably causing problems.
Stacks up.
His Internet Explorer.
Yeah, as long as that's going.
Yeah.
Mine did that. I just hit the back button. Did it again.
That's the next step. Now, it's going to ask you for your user ID. Let me set your card. This is your user ID right here.
So here you go where you log in.
Okay. All lowercase letters. And then this is your password right now, your startup password. So it's that C-O-W-A,
can you tab it?
Which is actually City of Bethel.
You want to tab.
This number, and then it says you're a part of the board.
Okay. So we have to put in
user ID, username.
Oh, there's no number pad. Did you see me over there?
Your tab on the left.
Hey, what?
You won't see your password. You won't see it. We'll just give you dollars.
Okay, so yours is thinking right now.
You guys are different, Mike. What's going on here?
Very good. Is everyone able to?
I'm just maximized.
We're all
no, I mean, I don't have this button. Well.
Do your maximum.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I can do that.
You know what? Should we get
see,
you to the
right spin? It looks like it's doing its job.
Well, how come you got two tabs? Go here. That one's open. Click there. Okay, close that right there.
Now, when you get in, you're going to see this. And we'll wait until it gets spot up. Look
let's
like
start it over so you're on the same page as everybody. Okay, now click off in again.
How are you? Is everyone able to log in?
He's almost there. We're waiting. Okay, we're good.
Okay, well, we're waiting. I think everyone's in now. Let me just explain what you're seeing, okay? We're going to break this down here for just a minute. This area up here at the top, does everyone see this narrow strip of lighter gray color? That's called the banner area, okay? You might notice that there are a couple of winks in that area. There's a whole wink. This is now set up, by the way, if we were to click on that. You know, we don't have to do that now. But what that will do is that will navigate you to the home page of your city, okay? Mm-hmm. That's already set up. Furthermore, does everyone notice the log out link up here at the top? Mm-hmm. Want to encourage you, this is important, because you are what we call executive users. When you finish your session, you finish viewing the agenda, right? You want to make sure that you log out, right? To prevent any unauthorized viewing of the information. Make sense to everyone? Mm-hmm. So you do that after you finish. Now, this area right here is called the welcome screen area. And this is customizable to you for your city, right? You can actually incorporate a picture over here too, which we didn't do today. But you might think about that. Maybe it's a picture of the council, right?
No.
You can decide what you want to have up there, but the point is it's a customizable area, right? Where you can set it up to basically look however you want it to look and to incorporate whatever content you may want to incorporate on that welcome screen when someone comes in. Now, oh, I want to call your attention to this area over here on the left side, because this is where the important information is found. Does everyone notice there's a meetings tab up here, mm-hmm. and there's also a policies tab, right? All of your agendas, your meeting information is going to be found on this meetings tab. In fact, this area right here is called the meetings pane. You might notice we don't have much in the way of meetings right now, but we've got a couple of sample meetings in here, right? And these aren't really real. They're the beginnings of some more meetings, but we were playing today and learning how to use it. But does everyone notice this area called current right here? Mm-hmm. I want you to pay particular attention to that, because this area is where all of your current or upcoming meetings will be found. Make sense to everyone? So your July meetings, your August meetings, the meetings that are upcoming are all going to be found here, so you can access them very easily. You don't have to go hunting for them. When you come in, if you want to view one of your meeting agendas that are upcoming, you just click on it right here in the current meetings area. Okay? There could be as many as seven meetings listed right here that are current or upcoming. Okay? Beyond that, you might notice that there's also a 2010 divider bar there. Does everyone see that? Mm-hmm. Let me have you click on that for just a moment so you can see what happens when you do that. What it'll do in this case, as you'll see, is it'll close out the current meetings panel and see how it expands the 2010 panel, right? So as you use Board Docs into the future, whenever you want to go back and view a meeting that you've held in the past, right, all you have to do is click on the divider bar for that year in which that meeting was held, and all of your meetings will be listed right there. You can click on the meeting you want to view and view it right there online. Does everyone follow? So it keeps an archive also of all the meetings that you've held, which is great, because you can go back and look at those meetings in the future. Very good. Well, let's say that we wanted to take a look at one of our meetings. How would we do that? Well, let me have you go back up and click on current for just a moment, if you wouldn't mind. And we prepared a sample meeting of July 12, 2010. Does everyone see that meeting in the current meetings area? Go ahead and click on that when you're ready.
Is it a double click?
It's a single click. Single click. Thank you, Debbie. Right, so single click on it. And then you're going to notice here, as we have on my screen, that another panel appears over here on the right-hand side. Does everyone see that? This is called the meeting dashboard. Now, there are a number of things that you can do from here. Notice you have a view the agenda button that you can select. You also have a print the agenda button. Okay, so depending on what you want to do, you can make your selection from this dashboard. What I'd like for you to do is to click on view the agenda, if you wouldn't mind. Go ahead and select that. And what you're going to see here momentarily is that the agenda view then displays. Does everyone follow the progression that we got here? Okay. We selected our meeting, we clicked on view the agenda, and now we're in looking at our agenda. Okay. How's it organized? Well, as you look at this, you'll notice that some of the bars that here are dark bars. Those are your agenda item categories. Then the items that are contained in between are your individual agenda items. Okay? So if you wanted to view an agenda item, notice if you can click on it. I'll just show you what this looks like. For example, let's say I want to click on Pledge of Allegiance as an example here. Now this is a meeting opening item, right? Then when I select that, do you notice that over here on the right-hand side, the details for that agenda item display? Everyone see that? This is the header area. This is where you can see, for example, which meeting it belongs to, which category, what the subject is, whether or not it's an accessible item, public or private. And then, what type it is. Is it procedural? Is it an action item? Is it part of a consent agenda? See? So you can see, again, what type of item you're looking at. Okay. Further down, you'll notice some content areas. As authenticated users, again, as I mentioned to you, as council members, you see everything in this agenda. So you see executive, administrator, and public. So everyone see those three areas right here? So, you know, certain sensitive information, like for example, something personnel related.
Right here, this bar. You can drag it or you can push the little button that's on the bar. Right.
Push enter there.
Well, actually, you hold place it in this executive content area. Does everyone follow
like
that?
This, so you grab.
Those, again, administrative staff here will see it. Anything in administrative that's on the bar right here.
Just push these
this is the public
buttons.
Area. See how that's compartmentalized into different content areas there?
If you want to get to the same place.
Do you notice that in this public area, we have incorporated something called a hyperlink? Does everyone see the word here? That word is blue and underlined? Right? We're experimenting with that today. Just to show you what's possible with Word Docs, if you were to click, for example, on this hyperlink, you're going to notice that in this case, it brings up a separate window. In this case, we're going to
I don't know what I
would
click on.
Because we're working in an online environment, you can create links that take someone out to another site. Right? So it could be, for example, an article in the local newspaper. Right? Or it could be another website that you may want to link to, for example. Right? Any number of things. Okay. You can create those hyperlinks directly inside the content areas and have that information display on the screen. Now, depending on which browser you may be using, again, there are different types of web browsers. I think most of you are using Internet Explorer right now, or Firefox, one of the two. It'll either come up in a separate window as it's done here, or sometimes it will come up on a separate tab in the browser, if you're using, for example, Firefox. Okay. It'll also work on the Macintosh, so those that are using Macintosh computers, they do it in the Safari browser. Right? We're platform or system independent, so it can be either Macintosh or Windows. That works in both. When you decide that you're finished viewing this item, all you have to do is close it by clicking on the X, okay, up here in the window, and it'll dismiss the item.
So if you had clicked here, it would open that window.
So as you're viewing your agenda, again, all you have to do is just click on the item you want to view, and over here on the right-hand side, the information for that item displays. Now, in many cases, there will also be attachments. Items that have been attached to your agenda items. Now, for example, if I were to click on this approval of City Council minutes of June 28, 2010, 2.02. Does everyone see that item? It's item 2.02.
2.02.
And you have to click on that.
Down one more.
You lost me.
Oops.
Notice there's a link.
2.02.
You can go down. There you go.
Does everyone see the link in this public contents area? Now, that is a PDF document. So it's been published out there. It's been attached to the agenda item, right? If you want to view that document, all you have to do is click on it. Go ahead and do that if you like. And what's going to happen here in just a moment is the PDF file, as you'll see here, will appear in a separate window.
They're getting an intermediate prompt. Website wants to open web content, allow. Go ahead and allow that.
Click allow if it's...
Cool. Accept is the next one you want to do. It's just saying you want to accept, download there. There you go. Good job.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what you were looking for.
You can do Firefox, yeah, if you want to do.
That should be the only time you see that, right?
Yeah, it should be the only time you see that.
Right.
That's just the first time you've opened up that PDF reader.
Yes. Now, PDF documents open up.
There you go.
Inside of a separate window here.
And Mark, you know how to expand your window?
Yeah.
This is Adobe software program. So once you define field up there, these attachments are also searchable. So if you wanted to find a term, you want to search for something in the document, you can click in that field and type in a search term, and it highlights the matches in the document. Right? So those attachments are searchable too. And that's great, because sometimes those documents are rather lengthy, and you want to find the information that you're looking for. Quick way to do it. Okay? You can leave the attachment open if you want to during your meetings, or again, as you're preparing for your meetings. When you're ready to close it, again, all you do is go up and click on the X up at the top to dismiss the window. Yeah, I promised I would show. Let's see, which one was it? It was,
your task. Do I?
Yes.
What's it say? Do you want me to see this, please?
Come on, get up there.
Put save and quit.
I'm trying to get
cancel.
There.
Come on.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. 3.02.
3.02.
Do it again, Scissor X skin.
3.02.
Yeah. You would click. Click or quit.
All right. Does everyone see, click on 3.02.
Whoa.
Okay, 3.02. Wanted to point out to you that your agenda memos can also be attached to the agenda items. Okay, this is an example. This memo will not exactly match the item because we're just creating a sample here just so you can see how it works. But it's the same as what we did before. When you click on the item, the memo will appear over
there. See where you went.
Right? So if you wanted to view that memo, again, all you have to do is go over and click on it. And as we talked about before, it'll display in a separate window. Did I lose anyone there? Okay. So once again, all I did is click on item 3.02, and I clicked on the link.
Where did you go, Tim?
That's right there.
I think we're going to have to start over.
Now, does anyone have any questions about viewing agenda items? Are you getting a sense for how this works? It's really straightforward, as you can see. Really, you know, you can look up your email, if you can, you know, surf the web, or, you know, for a term that you want to look up. Right? You can do this. It's not pretty hard at all. A little bit of practice, you'll get this down. Now, let's talk about policies for just a minute because I want to show you how this is set up. Does everyone see this policies tab up here at the top? Okay. This has already been set up for you. If you were to click on that policies tab, we have you do that in just a moment. What you're going to see is that your municipal code page pops up on screen. Does everyone see that?
Yeah, I'll do it.
So that's a hot link that you can click on to display the code right there on screen in a separate window. Okay. Makes it very easy for you to access. And again, you can close that window by clicking on yes. Now, what if you decide that you want to print your agenda? Can you do that? The answer is yes. Of course, you know, we are a paperless meeting technology, right? So we encourage you to try to do it without printing as much as you can, but recognize that sometimes you need to do that. Does everyone see this little printer icon up here at the top of the agenda item details? I'll just pause my mouse there so you can see what I'm pointing at right there. That pops out all the reminders to what that tool does. Print, in this case. Go ahead and click on that if you'd like.
You're right below it, Dan.
Okay, that's it. Right.
Yeah, we're not actually going to you
that. That's it right there.
An actual copy. I'm going to show you the process here. Okay. But you notice that it opens up this print view on screen. Does everyone see this? Now, look at this. You can print several different versions of the agenda. You can print a simple version of the agenda, which is basically just the outline of the agenda.
Is that the one he's
just
on?
The items.
2.3.
Right. The item titles. Furthermore, I'll just click on that so again you can see what that looks like. Right? You can see how it changes the view for it. Furthermore, if you click on detailed agenda, this is a more detailed view of your agenda.
He's on residential vehicle.
Three items and any details that are contained for the items. Make sense to everyone? And then finally, the current agenda item, this brings just the agenda item that you're currently viewing.
So that's it right there.
So we gave you three different options for printing here. When you're ready to print, and again, we're not going to output this to a printer tonight, but I just want to show you what happens here. You can click on the print button down here in the lower right corner. And when I select that, what you're going to notice here is that it'll bring up the print dialog box.
I think that's where we must
go. There it goes.
So you're going to have to kind of look around and see where
the Windows
closing.
Print box right here that you're probably used to seeing, right? I've seen it many times before. You can choose the printer that you want to print to, set up your print settings, and ultimately it's a launch it to send it to the printer. You just click the print button in this box. Does everyone follow that process? I'm going to click cancel there because, again, we're not going to actually print it out.
You said you're not something again. I don't know what you did.
There you go. I get the arrow down there.
How do you set up a document for printing?
You took it off.
I close the preview window, you can click the close button down here at the bottom. Now you dismiss it.
Yes.
You have to put it in your
hole. Well, they were in the
print section. Questions so far? How are we doing here?
We accidentally clicked on the X just so they know that they need to really look for that tab. To click that X, depending how their browser is showing up. So we had to re-log in, and we're catching up.
Right, right. If you're using Firefox as your browser, you don't want to put the X in the window because it will dismiss it. You're right, because it brings it up on a separate tab. So,
okay. I want to plant a seed for a question, something I'd like you to cover. When we went to the PDF document, it was the agenda, I believe. I minimized it on the assumption I want to bring that up late in the meeting. I don't know where it went, so you'll need to explain that to us, please.
Okay. It actually went
whenever it
comes. Tray, which is down at the bottom here somewhere.
So these right. Down here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes if you run at your mouse over them, it'll show you everything you have open. See? It'll pop these up.
Oh,
and there it is. I went, well, that's something. I don't know which one it is. There it is. So now we can close it. See, there's no tabs. So then you would do that.
That's where you go.
There you go.
So it's under the under the E, what I mean.
Yeah.
Firefox.
Oh, that I must have clicked it out.
Okay. What are you looking for?
No, I instead of minimizing, I think I must have X'd it out.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Okay, what do I do?
So now you're. This is what you're looking at.
Okay.
Oh, what do you do now? Did you X out again?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So there it is. So you have to. It just minimized it. That's how the new minimizing goes. If you have Word,
two things that you're looking at.
No, if you click this minimizes it.
If you close it, click on trouble. If you minimize it, that's what shows up.
If you open other windows and other things, it'll minimize it and open up the new one. And then they'll track down here.
What you want to cover tonight, and that's searchable. How do you search agendas? Do you notice what I did here just a moment ago is I clicked from my agenda tab back to my meetings tab. So everyone see that? Go ahead and do that for just a moment. And what you're going to notice is that up here near the top, down under where it says active meetings, there's a field right here that you can type in a word in.
Under the search.
You type in your search term right
upper
there. Okay.
Just
what
click
we
on
wanted
it.
To search over here. All of our meetings for the word minutes, as an example. Could be any search term. But let's say that we want to search our entire meeting archive and see if we can find a meeting that contains the word minutes. How would we do that? Well, if you click in this field, and you can go ahead and do this if you like, and type in
it's
minutes.
Your mouse up there. Okay. Click in it.
And then to initiate the search, you can press the Enter key, or
you didn't click in it yet.
Magnifying glass symbol right next to the search field. It's going to go out and search by meetings.
Just put your little hand right on it, on the word search.
Your hand's not little.
Now, if you notice, the view of my agenda, my meetings, has disappeared. You see that? And in its place, I have search results listed here. Right, so what it's showing me are the meetings that have items that contain the word minutes. Following that, so if I wanted to view one of these meetings, all I would have to do would be to click on the meeting. Let's have you click on the July 12, 2010 meeting as an example. And then what it's going to do is it's going to drill us down further here in just a second. It's going to take us into that meeting, and then it's going to show us
Diaz.
Where did you go against?
Was that right?
No, it's okay.
Yeah, it looks like it's all fine.
I'm waiting for Mark to come up. That's why.
M-I-N-U-T-G-S.
You're good.
Let me show everyone one more time here, okay? All right, I'm going to start from scratch so you can see this. In the search field right here, I'm going to type in Homer Jennings. And I'll press the enter key. Now, what it's going to do is you can see is it goes out and searches what, in this case? My entire meeting archive for any meetings that happen to have items that contain the word minutes. Make sense? Here are the meetings that contain items with the word minutes. If I want to choose one of those and view the individual items, I click on meeting, so I'm going to click on July 12th. And what that's going to do is that's going to drill down a little bit further.
What he's doing is the search again.
Take me to that meeting.
He's just showing us how to do it again.
And it's going to show me, as you can see, the individual items in that meeting that contain the word minutes. See how that works? If I decide that I want to remove my search results and go back to my agenda view, how would I do that? How would you think you'd do that in this case? The red X up at the top, right? Go ahead and click on that. And what you're going to notice about this is that it returns you at that point to your agenda view. See how that works? So the search result displays the same area as your agenda view. If I go back over to meetings tab and I do the same thing, click on the red X there. Once again, as you can see, it takes me back to my
meetings tab. I probably missed something, but can you type in a date of a meeting in the past? Can you type in a date of the meeting of a past? Past meeting?
So you can perform more complex searches even before you use operators. So you can say, for example, minutes and July, or something like that, right? Or minutes or something else. So in other words, yes, you can get more complex searches where you can narrow it down to specific, more specifics.
So let's see. You make a comment and you want to find what any other questions? You could type Tim Wilson or Mayor and it could bring you all, everything up.
Well, you've all done great. This is your first look at board docs, your first opportunity to be hands-on with it. I hope that at least you're kind of getting a sense for how it works. Again, it's not too difficult. A little bit of practice. You can practice at home, right? Again, because you can log out from anywhere. Right? So you can log out from work or from home, wherever you want to actually do an agenda. Yeah, it just has to be an internet-connected computer. It's really quite simple, as you can see, to get on and view the information. I would encourage you to make sure that we set up a favorite. Right? That's one thing that Stan's going to want to help you with if you haven't done that already, so you can gain quick access to your site in a manner. It's been a pleasure to come here tonight. I hope this has been helpful to you as an introduction. And on behalf of the entire Board Docs team, we want to welcome you to Board Docs family. We're excited to have you on board. We will be checking back with you periodically to see how you're doing. And once again, I would encourage you, if you have any further questions as you get into it and start using it, to make sure that you rely on our support. Call our number, send an email to us, and we'll be happy to help you with any challenges or questions that you may have. Okay? So with that, unless there are any other questions, I think we're finished with this session. Go ahead.
I'm not sure about, you made it sound too easy signing on to the internet. Is this what we're signing on here throughout the whole city? Do we get on our home system?
Anywhere that you can access the internet, you can access WordPress. So
okay, well, my daughter brought her laptop home from the fix-it guy and went to sign on the internet, and the little antenna thing, she had to get a serial number or something on the back of that to get that. Do we go through all that?
Well, that is a function of your internet service provider, so, right, there are different ways to access the internet.
But we'll have to go through that
you
with
have
this?
To do that. Yes,
okay.
You have to access the internet before you can log in.
I'll get her before she goes to college.
It's nice to have those youngsters, you know? Yeah, let me tell you. Minor nationals when it comes to that kind of thing.
So I would imagine if the mayor and David don't object, I'd probably come out and help you so I can get going at home, too.
Okay.
You may have to send your printers as well. Because they'll be private.
Thank you for coming down.
Printers to print your stuff if you want it on hard copy.
Now we have to log out, right?
How do you do that? Would you unplug your home computer and plug it in here?
No, sure,
yeah.
Can be done
wireless. Log out, oh, never again. After you finish your session, right, does everyone see the log out link up here at the top? Again, you'll want to click on
Oops.
That. It'll take you out of Board Docs. At that point, you close your browser, shut down your laptop.
It's just an extra security.
Right. I just X'd out.
Yeah. You're done for now.
Yeah.
Where's that shutdown at? Right here?
Yeah.
Start. No, that's start.
Yeah. There's a shutdown there. Click on it.
Is it?
Right down there.
Oh, there it is.
And then here's this.
Bingo, I'm off.
You weren't going to practice anymore?
Yeah, meaning to start.
What?
So if you start to spell board docs, it'll start to come up.
Next meeting? Okay. Yeah.
Hang on, I'm trying to buy a golf club on eBay.
There you go.
There's one for every crowd. I'll tell you. That's in minutes now, Mark.
Yeah.
I was outbid anyways.
Okay. Where are we at here? License agreement with Sun Basin Self Storage. Amen. $50 a year? Is that what it really is?
$50 a year.
Okay. So I want to make sure. Okay. Do we have any discussion? Mark?
Is there no line of sight issues when they come out of the driveway of their office looking down the road and here's this big sign there?
Yes. What's the question? Where's the sign going to be?
Well, yeah, line of sight issues. I mean, because I read it that it could be back to the sidewalk, which is only 5 feet back.
Right.
And there's normally a 13-foot easement before we start blocking.
Right.
Are we approving tonight of only 5 feet back from the curb?
Take a look.
What's that saying?
It appears that yes, it could be 5 feet back from the sidewalk. I'm sorry, back from the back of the curb, so it's a 5 foot sidewalk.
I'm just thinking, our church sign on 7th is really not close to a driveway or intersection, and it was still, I think, back 13 feet. It's not right up to the sidewalk.
That's true.
Any other comments by council? Mark?
Mm-hmm.
That's awful close.
You're sitting in a car, you've got your wheels to the curb, and you're behind that sign, and you're actually looking. So, I think you will have a line of sight to the box.
There's definitely no see-through portions of the sign that you can look.
If you look at the back two pages, you can see a schematic and dimensions where the sign will go. And also a graphic of what the sign will say.
Yeah, I mean, it's on this, so it has driveway on each side of that sign.
Right.
There's only.
But if you look, there's a sidewalk, then there's a landscaping area. I don't see the dimensions of the side of that.
but it appears that it's going to be well back from the 5-foot sidewalk, looking at this drawing.
But the sign is 6'4" wide?
Sorry?
The sign is 6'4" wide?
Yes. 6'4" by 8-foot tall.
Well, our shows a sign location right up to the sidewalk in the landscaping.
Yeah, the sign is in the landscaping, you're right.
And that's only 40 feet. That means people are only going to be 20 feet away when they come out of those driveways.
That's true.
Well, that's not very far.
So, the front of the car is going to be sticking in the street before you can see completely by that sign, right?
I haven't sat in the car and looked at it that way, but you might be right. That's what the issue is, that I'm hearing sign instruction.
I mean, he'll probably reference the car wash down the street from him, but two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah. Hmm. That's a pretty busy street, too. Pretty busy.
And it's not a see-through sign the way it's shown here. Hmm.
My thought is, sir, that I think we need some definite dimensions there, you know, we've got a 5-foot sidewalk, and how much of that landscape before we make a decision on it, we need to know what that landscape distance is.
You'd like to know how far the front edge of the sign is from the sidewalk, or from the curb?
The curb.
So that's 13 feet, and you take 5 feet out from the sidewalk, that would be 9. And the sign is how big? 8 feet tall, 6 feet long.
So we're sending that back then to Daryl, correct?
So you put it on the 9th, your next meeting is a workshop, so we'll put it on the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Have a little better information from council there.
Yep, that's what it looks like. Okay.
Thank you, Mark. Please.
Change order number 1, Main Street Project. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We all have a copy of the change order. There are two elements of this change order and the project cost summary. This is change order number 1 to the Main Street Project. In this change order, there are 4 elements. First one is Olympia Street. And as you can tell, it says the current bid was to apply a thin fog coat, actually a couple of them, on the existing pavement on the south side of Olympia. Since there was some extra monies in the budget, there was just over $56,000 reserve, plus another $25,000 contingency funds that were not spent. The engineers and city crew are recommending. And I want to point that out. This is not contractor driven. This comes from our city staff. Thank you, Cato. Public Works, as well as the engineer, that it's really better to do this this way, is to, instead of doing a fog seal over the south side, just grind that off and put a lift of a street evenly on both sides. It will last longer than the current edge, the north edge is all breaking off. And it's just not going to be a good street, but if we have limited funds, that would be a way to do it. Since we have a little extra funds, the engineers and city staff are recommending that we spend $7,648 on grinding off and then putting a lift on the south side of Olympia Street. The second request, and again, this is driven from the engineers and city staff, is not a contractor-driven change order request, is to asphalt the sidewalk in front of the Sears strip mall. Currently, it is a, it says asphalt, I really should say concrete. Currently, it's asphalt, and they want to go to concrete to make it consistent concrete with the rest of the city. Now, it doesn't mean it's consistent width-wide. Again, Mr. Cato came and talked to me today, and he's exactly right. The rest of the sidewalks around the city are up to 10 feet wide. In fact, most of them are 10 feet. The point problem with this particular location is the parking lot relative to the businesses, the Sears, the hairdresser, the Anytime Fitness, and a couple others, is the parking lot is already substandard. There are numerous wrecks or fender benders backing out, especially when you get trucks in there. The original proposal was to put a 10-foot sidewalk in there. The parking lot would then be reduced 4 feet. Well, the owner of the strip mall, along with several of the business owners there, they came to City Hall, we put the city engineer on the phone, and we had a discussion about how we could make this work. The minimum standard sidewalk for ADA compliance is 5 feet. The engineer said, and there's a reason, I think there's a pole or something, they asked that we make it 6 feet. If we make this sidewalk, not asphalt, we replace it with concrete, make it 6 feet, the parking lot actually expands about 12 inches, so they'll gain about a foot to the already cramped space in the parking area. Both the owner of the strip mall and all of the business owners that came and asked what we could do about the situation said they would agree to that. In fact, they really liked it. Of course, they got a little more room in their parking lot. So they liked that. It would not be a consistent 10-foot sidewalk like many other areas of the city. The cost of that project is $5,485. The third item is really kind of a minor item, and that's the 8th Avenue restriction. Now, if you don't know, 8th Avenue, that runs by the East Irrigation District, is not a city street. It looks like a city street. We all act like it's a city street, but it's not a city street. Early on in the project, the Administration of Public Works had put in the specifications to narrow the neck of 8th Avenue where it joins Main Street. In other words, restrict it so it looks like a restricted street instead of just a street. Well, the chief and I reviewed that and we said, no, we don't like it. We want to keep it the way it is. So we took that out of the bid. It's actually a cost savings, a credit to the city of $541.90. The remaining change order item is the drainage issue on the west end of the property by the railroad tracks. And those of you that have been around with the flooding issue of the city know that that's one area that floods. It runs over the bank into the storage units that are on the other side of the railroad tracks. Terry saw this, or Terry Public Works, saw this issue and asked that we include some drainage issues, which include install a catch basin, install a culvert, and then do some ditch work around the area. The advantage is it will help the ponding issue and the flooding of the storage units on the west side of the railroad tracks. The cost of this is $5,660. The budget reserves that we have relative to this project are $25,000 in contingency fund that has not been spent on this project yet. We also have $56,890 in reserve fund that has not been spent. So if you look at the change order, the total change order on page one of the change order, the total change order is $18,252.25. Now that includes all four items of the change order. So if you want to take one out or two or three, that's up to you. You can adjust the dollar amount. But the contractor needs to know as soon as possible, particularly on Olympia Street, if we want to improve Olympia Street the way it's projected in here. So with that, the city staff is recommending that the council approve change order number one in the amount of $18,252.25.
Question or comments? Raymond?
On Olympia Street, the pavement is breaking off on the north side of what's already paved, and you can take that out, right?
Yes, that will all be ground out and redone.
Okay, so what goes on the north side of the street once you get the whole street put in that's going to keep it from breaking out again and start across the street?
Yeah, there's
is there any safety thing there?
There's no curb or gutter or sidewalk projected on the north side. That was not included in the But that edge would either be supported by a dirt berm, which would not last very long, or wouldn't be supported at all, and you end up with what you have on the north edge of the existing pavement, but that's taken several years for that to happen. But the bid does not include gutter, pan, curb, or sidewalk on the north side.
So we're hoping it doesn't break off before somebody buys a property and we have to do it again.
Right.
I just want to check.
One of the issues with the current breaking off of the pavement is car scratch. This would be out in the right of way or on the north side. Hopefully cars would be driving on the edge of that as they currently are.
Okay. So they would not be able to park out there along that strip, right? There'd be driving lane out there. It would not be a parking strip. The parking strip would be up against the curb.
I don't believe the width is wide enough for parking on the north side.
Okay. Any other questions?
The north side then would be a no parking area. So you have.
You could designate that. You certainly can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we might have to do that because we have the same situation from 7th to 14th on Olympia. And I don't think it says no parking, but just nobody parks there.
Right.
And with houses right there, they might be between 4th and 7th, they might be tempted to park on that north side. So we might have to put a few signs up.
Okay. We can do that.
So do I hear him?
Go ahead. One question here. Yeah, I don't mind Olympia Street. I don't mind 8th Avenue. And I don't mind the drainage down there. But I still got a question on that sidewalk. I don't know. I mean, you know, we start changing things from 6 foot to 10 foot. What happens when we go in there and do our beautification and we cut 2 feet off of that for the trees or whatever? Then you end up with a 4 foot sidewalk. I mean, I don't know. We got a standard, that's what we should go by. I mean, if we got a 10-foot sidewalk going down the street, we've made everybody else go with a 10-foot sidewalk, they should too. And I don't care if it cuts their parking lot or not, that's what our standard is, and that's what we can say. I don't know, I know there's a lot of other parking lots in this town that are too small. They shouldn't even be parking that extra car in a lot of places. I think that's probably considered the one. Yeah, this goes back to day one when that parking area was first dedicated as a parking lot or whatever. But, you know, we're trying to update the town and make it look the same. And then we make a deviation like this. I don't know. I mean, that's just my personal feeling. But when we go back for beautification, we're going to end up with a can of worms right back in that same block again.
How wide is that now?
Sorry?
How wide is it now?
I don't know how wide the asphalt is.
It's probably about 6. To the further, to the curbings, it's about 6 feet.
Depends on if the car parked up against the curb or not.
They park right up to the curb.
So it's over.
Yeah, or hanging over it.
I mean, so it's a catch-22. You want it to be standard, but you want it to be safe. Because at the end of the day, you shorten that parking lot, you're going to have a lot more accidents than you do now.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
You might as well shut the parking lot down.
They're going to park on both sides. If you put in 10-foot parking lot, you're probably going to be able to park on both sides.
Yeah.
Unless they pull up and park on the sidewalk.
And the one that's always crowded is any time at different hours of the day. That's the only one that really gets
that is what we're talking about.
How wide are the sidewalks like in front of the Ace? They are 10 feet, aren't they?
They're 10. Yeah.
They don't have much of a parking lot either. So.
That's true.
Yeah, that one's not big.
I don't think they're 10 feet, do you?
You back up here on the street.
So I hear a motion to authorize the mayor or his designee to sign change order number one.
Is there any motion? That motion?
Ken Johnson?
Second.
Second. We hear more discussion. Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Snyder was second. Sorry. Opposed, the same? Okay. Thank you, everybody. Okay, change order number two, Main Street Project, David's not here, so I assume you're doing it, Eamon?
Yes. First of all, I just want to give you an update on the project. They had an 8-foot grinder. It broke down, then it broke out again. They have a 12-foot grinder. As you can see, they did one passing strip last Friday, I think it was. No, Thursday, excuse me. They did work Friday. They started out today and didn't go very far, and the grinder they have overheated. So they pulled off the job today, and they got no grinding. And we have reminded the contractor, MRM, that they have an X number of days to get the project completed. And they're just about a week behind of grinding now. So we'll be encouraging them to find another, maybe bigger machine. The same company that they leased this machine from also has those huge grinders you see on freeways. So hopefully they're going to go get one of those and like two passes.
I don't know what it costs,
but anyway, there's a penalty for not finishing on time. So they're going to have to equate that to the cost of the grinder. The second change order actually has two, and it's your option which one you'd like to pick tonight or none. There's option 2A and 2B. And let me correct a kind of a typo. Under explanation of issue, the request, it says replace 10 manholes. Then down below on the recommendation, it says 6. It started again, thank you, Mr. Cater. It started as 10, but when they got all done making the engineering evaluations, only 6 needed repair. So 6 is the right number, and 6 is on both of the change orders, not 10. So now that we've cleared that up, what are we doing here? The contractor, as you know, lowered the utilities and looked down, took the manholes off and lowered them throughout the project. In doing so, he noted that the condition of the manholes, being 40 to 50 years old, were brick and mortar, staggered brick and mortar, which is common. Most of the mortar is gone. Some of the bricks are gone. It is a type of construction that it's meant to add strength as they overlay on top of each other. Some of those are gone. We have, thank you, Stan. As you can see here, some of the, on the upper level, the mortar's gone, rocks are gone. And kind of a unique thing, it used to be a construction standard, is to put wood around the top. Now, most of the wood, as you'll see in a couple of these pictures, you can see the wood there, the flat line. Hang on, Stan. Go back. You see the wood right here, this flat piece? It's on this one here. Yeah, you can see how it's deteriorating and rotting. And when that gives way, then the upper level kind of slides down a little bit. So the concern here is how we take care of the situation. Yeah, it could cave in today, tomorrow, next year, 5 years, but we don't know. The contractor is worried about when he does the vibratory roller that it's going to cave somebody's in. The engineers are also concerned. Frankly, the engineers took these pictures. The liability exposure to the city is now evident because we now know there's a problem. So there are two options to fix the manholes. One is to have the contractor repair the items that are there and hope that the repair holds. And that change order is $19,800. That's 2B if you're looking at your change orders. 2A, and you see some of the other pictures, see some of the chunks of the mortar that's found around the, well, there's a good chunk right there. Also, the rebar, the steps that you can see there on the right of this picture, those are decayed to the point that when the maintenance guys step on them to go down and unplug the sewer, a lot of times they break and our guys fall and slip, and it's not safe for them because of the deterioration of the metal. 2A is the other change order, and you'll note that it's for $24,000, and that's a difference of $4,200 from repairing them or replacing them and putting in new. So the option is yours relative to choice and dollar. The staff would recommend that they replace them or have a contractor replace them and not try to repair these.
Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I found out about that we had a problem with those, so I went and looked at it myself personally, like Mark did too. And the ones that I looked at were definitely been a whole portion of damage. I know they did a little damage when they removed the ring and whatnot, but if you know a little bit about concrete, why, you can also look at it when some of the little cracks were in there, there were cracks from years back, so how long it's been that way. I mean, there was a potential that one of those could have caved in and caused some real problems in town. And looking at it from construction-wise, yes, that's the way they used to do those things. They used to lay them up in brick. Sometimes they used mortar, sometimes they didn't. And there's a two-way situation you got here. Sometimes they did that to relieve the pressure of the water, and it would trickle out and get into the outside and then wherever it would go. All right, now you reverse that cycle. You get your water and your water table in a certain area. Now you get that infiltration of that water. So you could have a major problem with those, not only with the falling apart and caving in, but also later down the road in college or somewhere, get into this thing and say, hey, you got a problem with this, you got infiltration. And that's what's causing part of the sewer problem. So my recommendation is to go in and tear them out, put new ones in, and you won't have another problem for another 50 years. And you're only talking about $5,000 difference. So, and like I said, I looked at them and I almost climbed down in one of the 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I've been in worse places in my life. But one thing I would recommend, a lot of those, where the manhole itself is, it would be almost impossible to get in there and get over to where the rungs are at going down to the ladder. You would have to swing like a monkey to get over there to get down into that. So when they do that offset to them, so at least you can get up and down the ladder if you need to go into those. That's my observation of what they look like. Those pictures are not exactly.
So, Ken, do I hear a motion?
I move to change order number 2A.
A second is Gina. Any more discussion?
Just so I'm clear on this, why if they grind off 3 inches and add 3 inches, why are they even messing with the height of those manhole covers? So the street's going to have less of a
where it's had a crown
hump.
Before, it will continue to have a crown. But the crown is very shallow.
Okay.
Any more discussion?
Well, I think also, too, we've picked up a little bit by lowering that down at the curb. There's a gutter line where, you know, actually instead of cutting, 2 inches, we probably cut close to 4 inches
right
at that gutter line. So that way you got more flow of your stormwater coming out. Mm-hmm. So the variation where that ring will be would vary from what existed now to what it will be when it's completed. At least that's the way I would
think. Yeah. Don't they also lower those so they can just go right over with the
grind over them and then raise it back up
right over the top?
Yeah. Okay, we have any more discussion? We have a first and a second. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
School resource officer contract renewal. Chief Dennegan.
Mr. Mayor, good evening. Council, good evening, Chief Dennegan, for the record. Before you is a contract renewal with the school district that we have entered into several years past, but this is an annual contract, so we tend to renew it each year. This contract allows us to use an officer that's an existing position or personnel in our department, assign them to the school. school. They work in the school for the majority of their time and handle all police matters within the school, plus off school with security issues and things like that. One of the things that was started last year with the same school resource officer that did not get a chance to do because of construction was to start a great program, which is gang resistance and education training in the junior high school, which were is the majority of the officer's time spent in the junior high. So what this does is just authorize us to enter into an agreement for the next school year, which starts this next month, 25th, and covers us until the end of the next school year. And by approving it, you're just authorizing the parents to go ahead and sign. Once the contract is signed by the city, I'll take it to you, Mr. Warren, and give it to him so you can present it to the school board. There is $23,076.87 in revenue. The school pays us that amount of money for the school resource officer. The way that's calculated is it's 50% of the officer's wage and benefits for the 9 months that he's actually assigned to the school.
So do you have, your half in the budget already then?
My half in the budget. This,
correct?
Yes.
So we've already taken care of that part.
This position is a full-time police officer that we already have in place.
Oh, okay.
In the budget year after year after year. So it's not costing the city anything whatsoever. This is straight revenue. And good. I should clarify that a little bit. I just put the number down there so I can see how it works. Are we going to spend another? No, we're not hiring any lots of reasoning system resources. So what I need from the council tonight is your authorization to go ahead and allow the mayor to sign the
questions or comments for Steve?
That was the only question I had. I was wondering whether it was coming out of the budget or if it was.
This is already budgeted money on the expenditure side. It's an existing officer, and on the revenue side, Mike works that out. He knows the figures, and they do the bill to the school district so that the revenue side is taken care of as well.
Okay, so do I hear a motion to approve the contract and authorize the mayor to sign it?
So moved.
Who?
Second.
Gina first, Dan second? Okay. All right, Gina first, Dan second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, we have a 7A. Which is an ordinance amending Othello Municipal Code section 2.10.050 of chapter 2.10 entitled City Administrator. Is there somebody running with this? Jim? Okay.
Apparently the question's been asked concerning the waiver the council gave Amon when he was hired about not living in the city. And reviewing your ordinance provision 210.050, under qualifications, you have a very blank statement, or rather straightforward. The city administrator shall be a resident of the city. I suspect this came from RCW 35-13-050, which deals with city managers, where it says, the city manager need not be a resident at the time of his or her appointment, but shall reside in the city after his or her appointment, unless such residence is waived by the council. So, knowing the council had previously, well, not only for Amon, it was also done for Rex because he couldn't find a place in town to live. I mean, it's gone on in the years I've been associated with the city with at least two of your administrators. So it seemed appropriate to use the language out of the state statute and add it to the end of your provision that says they will live in the city unless waived by the city council. So that's what's before you. So that you have a formal process to determine if the city administrator needs to live in the city or there's a reason why they don't live in the city or whatever.
For you that are newer on the council, we talked about this when Amon's wife first received the Warden School District opportunity. He came to the council and mentioned that his wife has to work, live in Warden, would there be a problem? You were living at the golf course? Where were you then, the golf course?
No, originally I lived in George.
Yeah, but at the time when you're wife?
Then went to the golf course.
Okay, you went to the golf course. And what I can remember is that we said that would be fine. But I don't think we ever did anything about it as far as officially. So this is where this is also coming from. Part of this, I don't know if anybody else remembers anything, but that's just memory. So
I don't remember anything. Was there a motion made to allow that?
I don't know. Been too far.
It was just, if I can interject.
Go ahead.
It was discussed originally, and Mayor Sanders at that time indicated that if, and this is in the minutes, if I ever decided to move in the city, that the city council would discuss moving expenses. And the discussion, or she said that because the council had discussed my not having to live in the city because I lived in Georgia at the time.
And I remember that because we actually, council actually went to Eamon and offered him the job. He was our interim administrator at the time, and we were doing a search and we could not find anybody that would be satisfied. So he was doing a good job, so we went to him and made him the offer, knowing he lived in George too at the time.
Do you recall, was I on council then?
I'm sorry?
Was I on council then?
No, that was during the period you were not on the council.
I just, my people are telling me they want the city administrator living on Othello, just to get a feel, keep a feel for the town and get a sense of the community standards.
Our discussion.
I have no problem with this. Sometimes it is hard to find good people, and sometimes I have to live in different communities, and to find good, well-qualified personnel like Eamon has been doing is a good job. In order, if he needs to live in order, I don't personally care. He still represents the city. I think he does an excellent job representing the city still, no matter where you live.
In the short time I've been mayor, also, anything that's happened, I'm sure you've all been called off and on when things happen, I assume. I've been called immediately when things happen, so it hasn't been like business wasn't taken care of, even on the weekends. So I have no problem with it. Oh.
If you go strictly to it, if you live out the golf course, you don't live in the city.
No, you're right. That's not in the city limits.
And how do you find, finding suitable housing sometimes for an administrator in a small town like this in a hurry? I am not sure. I had a friend that was superintendent up at Warden, Lynn, and he lived in Quincy. So I think in this day and age where both parties live or have different jobs and both work, then we need to have the opportunity to make the decision, yes or no. So rather than say, okay, it has to be this way, and then everything that you do is determined by what that says. It doesn't leave you any fluctuation room, any way to stretch one way or the other. So, and I, myself, I don't see anything wrong with changing it.
In regards to Eamon, I think you represent the city well. You keep us informed very well. Mm-hmm. Considering, I didn't even know you lived in Warden, if you want to know the truth, until shortly after I came on the council. But, I live in town, but I spend probably 75% of it out of town. So, and whether that be across the tracks or down the road in Highway 17, it's how you reflect yourself in the community.
Well, I can understand having a requirement to live within the city limits if it's an employee that has to be on call or that needs to be here for emergencies, such as a fire chief from the police chief or something like that. But the city administrator, and he lives close enough, he's here, he could be here within 15 minutes. I think that's plenty close. It's nice if they can live here in town, but if they can't,
give him a siren and a light bar, he can be here in 15 minutes.
I was thinking but, that, but I didn't say
it. Even the hospital EMTs live out of town, but they have to live within a certain time frame to get back into town if they're called. And there's very little I see that would require that the city administrator be here within 10 minutes or whatever.
And that's the opposition because you both, you your wife have jobs that mandate that you live in the community? I mean, that's kind of tough. I know the schools always want that.
And I explained that to the council, and that's when I was told that it didn't matter.
You've got to remember with this ordinance, you still maintain control, so whoever's next, you get to look at it every time. This isn't just a blanket policy, he can live wherever he wants. He has to live in the city unless the council. Understand that right, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I see him spending money here sometimes. I see him in the stores.
I got one comment here too, Tim. Okay. Look at this. I don't have a problem with it. We've got other people that's worked in the city and whatever, and if we want to get technical, everybody should live in the city if they work for the city. But you cannot do that because state law says that you cannot do that. You cannot push that issue to force anybody to live in the city limits to work for the city. It's been proven and it cannot be done. And I think that as far as Eamon's concerned, it falls basically in the same lines as that. Yeah, that thing is a technical job. But I think if it was really pushed, I don't know whether you could enforce it or not. So I think it's kind of a two-way street there. But I think it's great to leave it into the into our code like we've got it, but just have a waiver for Eamon as far as he's concerned and let it be.
And not just Eamon, it's for anybody that comes in, you know, that we hire. So any more discussion? So do I hear a motion amending Othello Municipal Code section 2.10.050 of chapter 2.10 entitled City Administrator? Is that what we need, Jim? Okay. Do I hear a motion for that?
That motion.
Okay, Ken Johnson. Ken Kaler second. Any more discussion? Mark?
This is nothing personal. It refers to city administrator as a generic position. But I feel it's important. I'm being told it's important to people that city administrator live in the community. So I'm going to represent the 1/7 of the population that believes that.
Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same?
Aye.
Okay, duly noted. Okay, unfinished business.
Excuse me, Mayor.
Yes.
Before the council moves on, if the council is inclined to give Mr. Sheldon a waiver, it would probably be appropriate to do that effective after the ordinance becomes published and is enforced. They could do it prospectively, knowing that they have to wait for the paper to publish the ordinance. But it would probably be appropriate so that it's clear that not only has the ordinance been changed, but the change has been used.
So you needing something else, is that what you're saying?
Just a motion.
Okay. So how do you want the motion to say?
Well, if the council is inclined to give Mr. Sheldon a waiver, it would say, I move to grant the city administrator a waiver from living in the city limits. If it passes, it's in the minutes, and it's there for everyone to see.
Okay. So do I hear a motion?
I move that language.
Okay. Dan first said, okay. Who? Ken Kaler is second. Any more discussion? Go ahead.
This is going to seem like a major contradiction, but now it's personal. Now Eamon's name is attached to it. And the situation that we've let allow... he's living in Warden, and I'm not going to fight this, to try to drag him back to town. It is what it is at this point. So now that it's got a name attached to it, I'm going to say, yeah, he can live in Warden.
Okay, thank you. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, that passes. Thank you, Jim. Okay, unfinished business. New business. Mark?
I'm going to continue my reputation of micromanaging, and it relates to the project, the street project that's going on now, and I think we should all take ownership of that project and keep an eye on things. A couple things I want to, on public record, is when they are grinding out here, I was told by the engineers we were going down 2 3/4 inches below the what, are you calling that the pan or the gutter or the cement that's out there? And if you go out and look, it's, sometimes it swells and comes up straight up to that pan. Sometimes it's an inch below the pan. I want my 2 3/4 inches of asphalt there. And if they have to come in by hand or whatever, I think the engineers should be all over that. I don't know what the industrial standard is, but on the streets I've seen them redo, it seems like that's always a weak point. They don't get that ground down, and you see they have to go and tar it. And I want my 2 3/4 inches against that gutter pan.
And you're paying for it. You should get it. The first block that the grinder moved through is, I can tell you, I walked with the inspector, and we noted it. I told the inspector. The inspector told the owner, Neil, and they will fix that.
Okay.
That's what the inspector told me.
Yeah. It's kind of unfortunate they're chewing up the gutter pan a little bit, but maybe that's inherent in the grinding with the current thing. But they're not close on some of them. The other point, I have a few here, is when they came in and ground and left that edge on 4th Street, I think that was totally inappropriate. I think it was disrespectful to the citizens that when you cross 4th Street to hit that edge that they left from that grind. Now, down on Broadway, they sanded it, so there's a little swell. But to leave that abrupt edge on 4th, I think was totally out of line. I'm very disappointed in everybody, staff, engineering, and the company we hired to do it, that they would leave it like that. And I hit that on in the day, Thursday, after they did it. And even going slow, it was quite a jolt in a truck. I don't know what small cars are doing. And at night, there was no sign up. There was a sign that said road construction ahead. No, it wasn't a cone there. It wasn't painted yellow. It didn't say bump ahead or anything. So I called Eamon first thing Friday morning, and I just think that's a terrible start to construction to leave an edge like that, and it's potentially dangerous. If people hit that 25 miles an hour and have kids in the car, you know it.
Again, you're right. It should have been taken care of, and you'd ask if some lighting or something we put on it. And we did put the sawhorses out with the blinking yellow lights that same day.
But yeah,
it should have been left that way.
Yeah, we should have. Even now, there's no sand edge to it, so that's unfortunate. Third item is the sidewalk on Hamlet. And this apparently, based on the records and the drawings, was a total misunderstanding by me. But the sidewalk on the north side of Lyons Park, I just want to advise you folks, my understanding was the sidewalk was going up to the Arboretum, and then a gravel path was cutting through over to the parking lot of the swimming pool. That's not happening. If you go look, they have, where the construction fence is, it comes up it comes up Hamlet, and then it, right at the roller rink thing, it cuts into the park, and then it's going to go on the south side of the parking lot that's there, past the new gazebo, and then it's going to cut over to the Arboretum. So it's not following Hamlet all the way up to the Arboretum.
We were gave a map of that a long time that showed where they did cut in below that.
Yeah. Yeah, I see it. I don't know how you guys got a map, and I didn't, but I've never seen this before.
It's small, and it showed how, and it's not a gravel path. My understanding is supposed to be paved.
Yes.
Asphalt.
Yeah. I provided Mr. Sport.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it'll be cement concrete on the south side of the parking lot, and then when it gets past that, to the end of the parking lot, then it turns into asphalt through the Arboretum and to the east side of the water towers, which we'll probably end up putting a street light there, because that's kind of a scary area if you go and look at that.
We've not discussed that.
Can I make a comment on that too? When Taylor talked about that walk area, that walk path before a contract was ever let on that, he went through that pretty explicitly, I thought anyway. And he said it was going to be on the south side, then changed to an asphalt pathway, mm-hmm. which would wind through the Arboretum and then come back by the swimming pool. So I thought it pretty well covered. Nobody had any comments on it at the time.
You understood it was going to go on the south side of the parking lot?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, that one was my bad then. I just expected the sidewalk to go up Hamlet and cut over when it, because you run into houses there.
Good point about the dark, though. That's a good point.
In reference to the bumps and cutouts on Broadway, when they made that first swipe, there was no signs up. But I called City Hall really quick. They said it was already in the process. They had some people come up. But it actually has been nice with those cutouts there, because I'm there every day, and the traffic coming into town is doing 35, 40 miles an hour. And it's really slow down.
Oh, yeah.
It's really nice to see those trucks do 10 miles an hour across that. You know, they're not flying 30, 40 miles an hour down the street now.
They don't want to bruise their potatoes.
It was probably giving Les Schwab some business, too. I got one more, a little clinic on signal lights. Because I don't know that we've discussed this before, and we might get into it. The signals at our intersections, we basically have three different types of signals. We have on 14th, it's a loop. They hit the loop on the side street. Within 3 seconds, it turns green for them, and you can go through. And you can actually hit that signal and keep rolling and never stop, and it'll turn green before you get to the crosswalk. You have the signal on 11th, which is a loop system, that when you hit it, you wait anywhere from 10 seconds to a minute. And then the rest of them in town are just timed. They're timed on Main Street, timed the sideway. What do we do? I've pushed and got no support that 4th should be a loop system. Countless times during the day, you're stopping traffic on Main with nobody going across 4th because nobody's there, and because it's not looped, it's just timed. And I think that intersection, for one, should be looped. Now, we tried looping 7th, and we got to the same system that's on 11th, where people pull up, and it was up to a minute to wait there for that thing to turn green for you. And so I called the traffic engineer consultants, you know, who you might say, oh, we need to talk to a traffic engineer, and told them the story, said people are think it's broke, they're driving through it red, they're cutting through parking lots to avoid it, it's a mess. And he said, the comment I got was, I don't understand traffic. And I said, well, I don't understand traffic, but I understand stupid, and that's pretty much the end of the conversation. But anywho, the loop's out of there now. They could never resolve that. And I don't know if you came to the intersection on 11th, but people are still driving through that light because they don't think it's going to change. It takes up to a minute. And it's a big long explanation of it circles around and cycles and whatever. It's 25-year-old technology that needs to be changed. It should be like 14th.
The one on 14th, if you're not north of the alley behind Doro's thing there, if somebody's up there and they go through, you can't get there before the thing turns yellow on you.
Right.
It's just, if you're not over that loop, you only get one car through there. Pretty basic.
I wasn't going to say that at a public meeting, but yeah, when I see somebody coming down the road and I speed up because I know when they hit it, it's going to go red for me. So yeah. I don't know, maybe it should be. I've seen intersections like that. I've seen intersections where they make them sit there for 20 seconds. But I think it's going to be up for us to decide this. I don't think we need to bring in engineers and consultants in that. And the loop system's already in at 4th, so I don't know if the contractors need to put conduit in now, if we need to catch up with this, or...
If you're going to put a loop in, the conduit's got to go in before we pay.
You know, there's already conduit there, because I was told all they needed was to put a wire in the loop where it's cut out on 4th, and then it's a go.
Well, yeah, that's true, it's conduit there.
Yeah. So.
So is that part of the streetlight project? Is touching those?
I'm sorry.
Is that part of the streetlight project redoing those?
Yes, the signals are part of the Main Street project.
But I mean those loops that go into the side streets.
No.
That is not part of it.
Were they all going to be timed, as far as you know, or?
Yes, they'll be timed as far as I know, and changed to the new lights.
On 7th, it's usually busy enough, there's somebody there, so loop system. The only thing on 7th I pushed, and I don't know, you may need to talk to an engineer, but I'm like, there's 10 times more traffic on Main. Why isn't it green on Main for 30 seconds and green on 7th for 20 seconds? So you get more traffic moving, and I don't know if I've been successful and if they have different times on the greens on that intersection.
Yeah, remember you submitted some times of different signals. Like yeah. Staff reviewed it, chief reviewed it, public works, and we did change one of those based on your count.
So that I guess at this point I'm pushing to loop 4th, and the only thing I asked for on 1st and Broadway is that if you make going down Main Street, if you make the green light on 1st, I think you should make the green light on Broadway. So if you're stopped, it turns green, you shouldn't have to go a block and stop again. You should, and there's a way to, they were going to run a wire, but now they think they can time it, and I don't know if that's gotten convoluted or if that's timed right or not.
But that would be opposite coming the other direction,
though. Well, or is it the same? If it's green going that way, it's red the other way. So if it's green the other way, it's green. Ponder that one. I haven't figured that one out.
So question for the council. We have a workshop coming.
I think.
Do we need to discuss this in the workshop and consider spending some money to get some of those fixed, or do you really want to just leave things as they are?
I'm really interested in the loop system. It was nice when we put the one on 14th, but I know it was not cheap either. It was over the quarter of $1 million.
Just for that?
Just that, I believe, for that one.
And the whole light system, the light alone is about $125,000. Just the light.
Now we have a workshop coming up. Do you guys want to discuss this? Because now is the time if we're going to try to do it. Because I think are they grinding back on those streets also?
I'm sorry?
Are they grinding back on those streets also? Probably not on the.
Yes, about 30 feet, I think it is, on the side street, yeah.
It would be nice if the engineers could come to our next meeting with some figures on what that loop system does cost. Okay. At this point, with what we currently have being there.
Or maybe even what technologies are out there to solve this kind of problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Just something, good. Now's the time to ponder, and unfortunately, it didn't come up before, but.
That's good.
And I'm done.
Any other unfinished business? New business. Oh, sorry. Did you have something?
The only thing I got an unfinished business. The one time we talked about ADT access out here with doors, and I don't know whether we ever come up with a cost on that or anything.
You're going to see it in the 2011 budget. Okay. And you're absolutely right, we're not ADA compliant.
I've been asked about this by two different people, and I know we were talking about it, but we never actually put a timeline on that. So.
We got to the point of getting cost estimates, and so it's going to be in the budget for your consideration then.
New business? Something I had mentioned to Eamon today, so you know, is some garbage cans down Main Street. We have a lot of people that walk, so they just sort of drop the garbage, because where do they put it? So we're going to look into that a little bit and see what we can do about that as far as, especially with the beautification push. It'd be nice to be able to have a few places for people to throw their garbage as they go down the street. So that's something we'll look into, you'll probably hear from. And anything else that people have on new business?
I got one item here, I think. I'm not sure it's new business, what it is. I think it's I guess I wanted to bring up something to you that I don't know whether you're aware of or not. And if it looks like it's feasible, I would like to continue it and make it into a resolution and then see what we can do with it. I don't know whether you're aware of Initiative 1100 or 1105, I think it's the other one. You know, it has to do with privatizing our liquor sales. You know, taking it out of the hands of the state. If you look at this very closely, it's going to affect more than you think. Oh yeah, it's cheap. I can go down and get me a bottle of booze. It's going to cost me 10% less than what it does today. But the whole issue is, you take a town the size of Othello, they get two different sources of money from that particular sales. One, they get somewhere around $31,000-$32,000 from direct excise tax portion of that. They also get about $55,000 that comes from the profit of the sales of that liquor besides. And if you don't believe me, look in your packet here, that somewhere in here on page one of your revenue report, it's in this packet. It shows those exact figures for 6 months period. And if we lose that, it's going to take quite a slam as far as the police department or whatever. It has to do with part of the budget for them and also for some of our programs and whatnot that we have. So it's something that is really serious. Not to say anything about the 900 employees that the state will not have employed and the other small businesses that you have that are taking care of this. So my thought is that us as a city, we may need to put a resolution out and put it to, say, AWC and have them get involved in this to help put some more pressure on it from the other cities. So in case this thing does happen to pass, I think they have enough signatures already, but the thing will go to the voters, and if it happens to pass, then this whole thing is going to be a reaction to all of us. And we would need something to go back to legislators to be able to take control of this some way to get our money back to us. I mean, then they end up with sales tax on booze or something to pick up the difference. But right now, it's not set in the law. And I would just kind of like the feeling of the council of wanting to proceed with this portion of this thing and present you a resolution on this particular issue.
Comments?
That was my understanding of the initiative, that some small cities will lose greatly some of the dollars they can get, especially for police enforcement. So I think we need to seriously look at that one.
Yes? Looks like everybody's shaking their head. So go for it. Sounds like we'll see what you bring forward.
I'll work on that. Maybe present you something to workshop, and then we can do it for next meeting.
Okay. Any other new business? Okay, mayor's announcements. Will the council consider establishing a half season pass at the pool? Currently, family rate of five is $170, so a half pass would be $85. Encourage people to buy more of the passes. Is that something you'd consider?
This heat waves, the families are coming to City Hall asking, you know, can I buy a season pass? It's halfway, just passed halfway through the season. Will the city create a fee for that? And we only have a season pass at $170. So it would be up to the council to establish a half season pass.
That's something we're interested in?
I would be favoring that. We've had a full meeting just the other day talking about some new ideals that the members up there might try to get going to generate more interest in the pool up there and generate more interest. I think this would be a really good one, I think, especially with the sea wave going on.
So we just need a nod?
A motion to set that fee, the half season pass rate.
Okay, so do I hear a motion from the council to establish a half pass fee at $85? Charles is first.
Second.
Second, Gina. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay.
I do have a question.
Oh, okay.
Before Mark goes off. when does the pool close this year?
August. Sorry, when does the pool close?
The pool closure for the year, this year.
The Saturday before school starts, really.
I would look at the fact that that big tournament that I hold is at Barry next weekend. And there's probably going to be an extra 800 to 1,000 people in that park.
Yeah. Is your term at the weekend of the 28th?
Yeah, just in the weekend right after.
Yeah.
Well, I think if we can figure out for the day or whatever.
We did that a couple years ago, and we were successful. The only issue was how many guards are available, because most of them go to college. We're going to lose a slug of them here in another week. If we have it available, certainly it looks right.
I'm just saying it'd be, you know, be a good weekend to finish strong.
I guess look into it and bring it back to us and see if the council wants to do it.
See if we can get enough people to work.
Yeah, it depends on where we have the manpower.
Wait.
Okay, Mark.
I just want to establish a baseline here. For Robert's Rules of Order, it's my understanding that a motion made not on the agenda needs special handling. In fact, my understanding, there actually needs to be a vote to vote on the motion.
Basically, they add it to the agenda, yes.
So what we just did technically was incorrect by Robert's
Rules.
Yes. So I don't care about what we just did, but in the future, when people bring up stuff off agenda, I want to go through that process, because if it's serious matters, it doesn't give us a chance to ponder it or get with our constituents or anything. So,
okay. Could somebody challenge that, Mr. Whitaker?
Challenge what?
Could somebody challenge the decision that we made?
Yes, if anyone of you said it as you were making it, you're raising the point of order. Stop the process for a ruling from the chair.
But
then if you didn't like the ruling from the chair, then you voted for the night like the ruling.
Okay.
Okay. Well, the second thing here was a contractor's grinder overheated again. You heard that. I want to encourage everybody to read the police department deal, especially because people are asking you, what are we doing about crime in the community, the gangs, things like that. There's some good information on here. I read that, and it was encouraging. So I'll encourage you that. Any other stuff before we close the meeting? Okay, this meeting is closed. Thank you, everybody. More ducks, oh boy. Just more stuff to read. Debbie, you need me for anything?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, I'll go over there.
Yep. Yeah.